Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Business Radio, brought to you by Lila Davidson Enterprises.
Hey guys, this is Alexandra Hassett again this week from the Hope Foundation. This morning I have with me Michael Wardlaw with the Pensacola Youth Ballet. Welcome, Michael.
Good morning, Alex.
We also have Mike Pinzone, owner of Papa's Pizza and Pensacola Fishing Pier.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Darcy Robbins and her mother, Susan Robbins, which is actually a student of Michael Wardlaw's. Good morning. Thank
Good
you
morning.
For being with us.
Thank
Good
you.
Morning.
And, of course, Miss Lila Davidson herself.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Alex.
Mm-hmm. I just want to, this morning, we're going to talk about a little bit more about Hope and our collaboration with other art foundations and specifically Michael Wardlaw's Dance Academy. And we've featured other companies before, and today we're really going to get into the meat of what we're doing. So, Michael, I want you to kind of take the reins for a second and tell me a little bit about the Pensacola Youth Ballet.
Okay. First off, let me thank Alex and Lila for having us on this morning, and thank you to the listeners who are tuned in right now. This is such a great opportunity for Pensacola Youth Ballet and such a great opportunity that you're offering to other organizations like this. So we really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Pensacola Youth Ballet actually came about from a dream I had a long, long time ago to create a company like this. But it was born out of LaBelle Performing Arts. And it's hard to talk about one without talking about the other. So I'll go back a little bit and talk about LaBelle Performing Arts for a second, and then I'll bring it back around to Pensacola Youth Ballet. So LaBelle Performing Arts was formed 10 years ago with my business partner Jeannie Beasley and Brian Beasley, who owned the school. And it was our dream to create a performing arts academy that offered dance, music, theater, and visual arts. And so along the way, you know, I had discussed it with Jeannie about the idea of creating a ballet company, and which at the time she already had a competition side of the school, which she calls the competition company. And so we discussed having a ballet company and what exactly that would look like. So after about 5 years into this, we're now in our 10th season. After about 5 years, I was able to create this company because the students had reached a high enough level that I would be able to create productions and use all students in those productions. So we are one of the only youth companies in Pensacola that caters strictly to the youth. The whole idea here is that the students at our school would be able to participate in this company and build a resume that looks like a professional resume where they get to do the lead roles in these productions. It's a really important step for them. So that's kind of where we've come from and where we're at now. We're now creating large professional style productions that go into the stages, and the audiences always respond very positively.
And you all actually do some things within the local school system as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. We do outreach programs. And if you'll give me a second here, we've done some outreach programs to Cordova Park Elementary School. And we've performed at Westgate School. Also Lipscomb Elementary and Molino Park Elementary as well. And we enjoy doing that because when you see those children's eyes light up for the first time, when they get to see something like this, it's magic. And, you know, we don't get paid for those. We don't get paid for those outreach programs. But what, you know, our pay comes in seeing those faces light up, you know, and maybe we, you know, maybe we inspire them to take classes. And when we go and perform, you know, we try to do it in complete costume and, you know, we have the music and everything.
Right.
And so, you know, they get to see a little bit of the production that we're putting on at the time.
And Darcy, have you ever got to participate in any of those productions in the schools?
Yes, I have. It's been a really amazing experience to just be a part, just like he was saying, because Pensacola Youth Ballet is there to give opportunities to students who, like, take classes and are there and want to get out there and want to perform. And he's able to give us all these opportunities to be able to perform, you know, the Nutcracker in December and at the other schools. And it's just a really, really amazing experience. Like he says, just like truly being able to like see those little kids, like their eyes just like light up and they're like, wow, that's so amazing. And you're just inspiring like people every time you go, both with little kids and people of all ages. Like, it's just really awesome to be able to see that and to be able to inspire people like that. It's a really amazing opportunity.
It's so interesting to see, you know, nowadays sometimes the youth in America right now, you know, they're so serious.
Yeah.
You know, and to see them watch a performance at their school and lighten up mm-hmm. is such a big deal. And, you know, you'll see those same students who walk in all cool and strutting, you know, coming in the door, sitting down, thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, a boring show. They'll get up and they'll be dancing their way out, mm-hmm. you know. So it's yeah. really cool to see that.
I think one of the biggest things that I remember from going to school was the times where performers and, I mean, everything's about testing nowadays. And you know how it goes. And I remember they had, it was more of a play production, but it was like a show in a trunk or something like that. And it was the most fun, and it was informational, and it inspired you to actually, after you've had fun, to go back into the classroom and actually want to learn something. I don't know how exactly that works in your brain, but it kind of like broke up the monotony. Yes, that. Of like the everyday school and testing. So I think it's fantastic. That's actually kind of what we like to do as well with Hope. And Lila, if you want to chime in with some of our previous performances and what we've done in the school systems.
Well, like Michael said, I mean, I hate to repeat it for the third time, but seeing the light in those children's eyes, it was my reward for the outreach programs that we've done. It was just amazing. Hope's big event for year one was when we brought the Kentucky Ballet to Pensacola and did outreach programs prior to their public performances for kids in five different area schools. We did four outreach programs that were about 2 hours long, and we bused children to the Rex Theater. And it's the difference between them coming in and as they were leaving is just amazing. I mean, just the children up on the stage and dancing and, you know, little boys in the ballet position, you know, that had never even seen a ballet performance and just smiling from ear to ear and loving all the attention to have professionals actually do hands-on workshops for them. It exposed, and the teachers, the testimonies from the teachers that we got that were there with the children were just, this is amazing. Our children, most of our children would never have the opportunity to see something like that. And, you know, I really feel that it's important for us to inspire the love for the arts in the children, and in doing that, we're exposing them, we're inspiring them, we're motivating them to want to stay in school and to learn, because they begin to connect the dots between mathematics and music, but you know, between football and ballet. It's the same physical stamina and control and awareness of your, you know, where you are in your body at the time. That's the only thing I really love about football, is seeing those football players that are big as mooses jumping up in the air, twirling around, doing somersaults, throwing their hands up in the air, but after they've caught this ball that looked like it was impossible to reach. That, to me, is ballet. And so I have trouble not connecting the dots, but between, you know, the arts and everything. My first experience was in the fifth grade when I was a performer in a Christmas play. I got to be the little old lady because my my hair looked like it was gray naturally, because I had dark hair with blonde streaks running through it. But anyway, that was an amazing experience, and I was terrible, you know, but it was a memory that has stayed with me my entire life. And that's people ask, well, how are you going to maintain what's mm-hmm. the what's the word I'm looking for
oh The one we used for our grant, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It was like sustainability. Yeah, that's the word, sustainability. Well, let me tell you, if that's all we did was that one production for those 800 kids, hope will be sustained through their memory of that experience and their exposure to something so beautiful and so good. It will stay with them the rest of their lives. And so that's enough about me and hope. Let's move on to...
I want to add to that, Lila, because talking about these outreach programs, you know, this is something that's so important these days in school, in the public school system. The arts used to be a part of the school system, you know, and most, well, I shouldn't say most, some schools still have a drama program, which actually Darcy is a part of at her school, Booker T. Washington. They have a really fantastic program there. But, you know, they used to have dance and music and theater and visual arts as well. Mm-hmm. And so many of these schools now, they don't have the funding for those programs. And so sometimes this is the only exposure to the arts that these kids have. And what I want you to think about with that is, you know, these schools have football programs. Some of them have baseball programs. Some of them even have golf, you know, that they offer at their schools. And those are great programs. But what about the artistic students? You know, what about the students who are more artistically inclined? So there's something missing there.
And the exposure and being able to discover their gifts. They may have gifts that they don't even know they have.
Exactly.
Because they haven't had the opportunity to explore the arts in their education. You know, to increase the school day by 50 minutes so that the kids have more time in the classroom to read. Well, let me tell you, if you motivate and inspire children during that 50 minutes to want to learn more about something that they're interested in, they will go home and read the book you recommend. Right. They will read on their own if they have the will, if they are motivated to do it.
Right. And for example,
nobody had to ask me to read once I discovered the world out there through reading.
Right.
You know?
Well, see, I was the opposite. And so some of the required reading in the school system is Shakespeare, for example. And, you know, there's a lot of Shakespeare ballets. And it's not, you know, not just covered in ballets. There's also plays. There's also, you know, drama productions of Romeo and Juliet, you know, and Midsummer Night's Dream and some others like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think back to that in the school system, I get upset sometimes because I was that creative kid, you know, and there were no avenues. I know even when I was teaching, specifically, I won't name any schools because I don't want to get in trouble, but the kids had art once a week, and it was for like 25 minutes, but the teacher spent, you know, 5 minutes getting them there, 5 minutes getting them back. And it's like by the time the art teacher actually corralled them, because there's so many of them, they didn't get to take home fun projects. And it was more of a babysitting for the teacher for, you know, 30 minutes per se. And then music was, that school actually had a pretty good music program, but it was still only twice a week for 30 minutes. You can't really do a whole lot or learn a whole lot with that kind of time frame, honestly. There's just not time, especially when you're dealing with second graders. Trying to get their attention takes time in the first place, you know. So having something where they can go and really kind of dive into it, like these outreach programs that aren't just 30 minutes of a chunk of time, I think is extremely powerful because it gives them time to get their minds involved and kind of soak in what it is, and maybe hopefully they'll be inspired to do it outside of school, because we've talked about this 100 times. We are tired of complaining about what the school system doesn't do, and which is why this is what we do. I mean, the funding got cut, so we are creating our own outreach programs.
That's exactly right. And that's where we pick up the ball, you know, where the school systems drop that ball, we pick up the ball. And so that's what our program is all about. You know, we offer classes, like I said before, in dance, music, theater, and visual arts at our school. And the classes range from anywhere from about 30 minutes to an hour and a half for some of our ballet classes. And the younger students are the shorter classes.
Right.
But it is an after-school program. We start at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go usually till about 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So there, and a lot of our students, actually Darcy is one of them. A lot of our more serious students are there almost every day of the week and right. then called back on Saturdays for rehearsal.
I'm taking 17 ballet classes a week currently at LaBelle Performing Arts. So it's been really cool that, to have the opportunity to go like every day and do what I love. And I mean, just what you were saying about the outreach programs, they really do have an impact. Because I know my brother started doing hip hop and he's interested. And mom heard about Pensacola Youth Ballet. And she said, well, let's go see their production of Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I fell in love with it. And I mean, that's really what got me to where I am now, which is like going, like you said, dancing every day of the week because I love it. And I was inspired by that performance and I wanted to do it. And I found my love and my passion for it through that performance. So that was really cool.
I bet you're proud, Mom.
I am. I am. It's all kind of new, honestly, because she actually started late. She didn't start ballet until she was, 14. She was in ninth grade when she really started seriously. So we approached Michael and was like, is this even worth the time and effort or what? And he said, well, let her just start and see. You know, we'll just kind of go from there. Well, it really took off. And it is absolutely her love. I mean, it's amazing. And so it has changed her life completely. And it's just given her a purpose and an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's wonderful.
And Michael, you all also work with professionals from the industry as well, not just outreach in schools, which is fantastic and what we're all about. But tell us about the professional side of what you all get to do.
That's absolutely correct. We regularly try to have in professional dancers as well as teachers from different companies, from different organizations, even from competition conventions and things like that. This allows our students to network, which is extremely important, you know, to build the ladder to their career, mm-hmm. if you know, so to speak. We've had dancers in from So You Think You Can Dance, which is obviously one of the biggest shows on television these days, right? They've come in during the summer program. We have a yearly summer program called Strive. And every year we invite different teachers in for that. We've had teachers from Cincinnati Ballet, Pennsylvania Ballet, different teachers from Los Angeles, California, Eugene Ballet, Cirque du Soleil even.
Oh, wow.
And Iglevsky Ballet is... we had actually my godfather, he's the director at Iglevsky Ballet. He came in to set part of our Nutcracker last year. So he set the snow scene for Nutcracker. So if you come to the Nutcracker in December, December 3rd, don't miss the Nutcracker. If you come see that, you'll see his choreography.
Awesome.
We're actually, the Hope Foundation is going to be partnering with you in the Nutcracker performance. Isn't that right?
That is correct. Another part of the outreach that we do is, you know, when we started the company, I come from the nonprofit world, being a ballet dancer all my life. And I've seen the nonprofit world all my life, how it, you know, struggles and how it kind of creates new ways to engage with the community and engage with its audience. And so part of my desire for our ballet company was to do the same thing, to engage with our community and give back. And so we've tried to partner with a nonprofit, a local nonprofit here in Pensacola, each year that we've had a performance. And what we've done is basically invite them to be a part of the performance in the sense of, you know, just being present at the performance. They are able to display, you know, information, put out flyers or whatever, and give a speech at the beginning of the show in front of the curtain to talk about their organization. And then the ticket sales, half the ticket sales, we split with that organization at the end. And there's kind of just, you know, no strings attached. We just split that with them, give back to that. It's been really successful. We've partnered with the Snoozland Foundation at Escambia Westgate School. This foundation is a foundation that works with children with severe disabilities. Mm-hmm. If you've never been to the facility out there, it is really, truly incredible. There's about four rooms that are themed for these students. And children with severe disabilities sometimes, like autism, for example, they respond to color or temperature you know, and things like that more than they do speech. And right. so when the teachers out at the Scambia Westgate School can't get the students to respond to the lessons, you know, verbally, sometimes they'll take them over to these, to this facility, and they'll put them in these rooms, and they will respond to the colors in the rooms or the sounds in the rooms. The temperature will calm them down so that they're more responsive. So it's really an incredible organization. And then another organization that we've worked with.
May I speak to?
Yes.
The working with children with disabilities. One of our outreach programs focused on, we actually had to reduce the number of students for one of the programs because we worked with East Hill Academy that specializes or in educating children with autism, which is near and dear to my heart because I have a grandson that is severely autistic. And so we were kind of afraid to bring too many of those students in because we didn't have a lot of experience working with them and weren't sure how they would respond. They were amazing, almost 30. In this one outreach that should have been for 230, they were so well behaved. They were just as enthusiastic and loved it just as much. And were, you know, the teachers were even amazed at how well they worked. We kind of let them have free rein, which was great. And but the response was the same from the teachers that were there and the kids. It was just an amazing experience. So although we're trying to focus mostly on children in the primary school age, kindergarten through six, we do expand that outreach to like Pace Center for Girls that's a whole nother story. An amazing school that does amazing things with those girls in just a matter of a year. And also, it was such a pleasure to work with East Hill Academy and those autistic children. So, yeah, it's just an example of how far-reaching the arts is.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. The other organization that we've worked with is Favor House.
Yeah.
And Favor House is a group that works with mothers and daughters mm-hmm. and children who've been abused, you know, and so... another really fantastic organization. But I want to speak to this too. You know, by partnering with other nonprofits, mm-hmm. you know, there's a very circular thing that's happening there. You know, the ballet company doing the performance, that's our reward, you know. Of course, money is necessary to put those performances right. on. And the ticket sales, the money that comes in from those ticket sales goes into the following year's budget, you know, for the next year's productions and so forth. But it also allows us to create scholarships and things like that. But there's a whole nother element coming into play with sponsorships, you know,
yes.
and with donations as well. And I have Mike Penzone here, who is a longtime sponsor of the ballet company, and I'd like for him to talk a little bit about that.
Well, I really am very excited to... be able to sponsor the youth ballet because basically Michael is very hands-on. He builds a lot of his own sets or builds them in-house. He doesn't waste anything. And so when we make a donation or as a business, when we sponsor, it's a lot more like he does it in a way that if we sponsor what we sponsor, he makes it grow mm-hmm. by doing everything in-house. And when he brings in these other organizations, basically what that does is it really makes your donation or your sponsorship really go far because it really helps the community. And he really does bring value to the community, not just to the kids, not just for dance, which even though you must see the Nutcracker, I've seen it over the years, and it's really gotten to the point where I think it's just amazing that he's doing such good work in this in our community. And so, but as a sponsor, it's something that everybody should kind of take part in because it really does bring value to the community and to the arts. And the ballet is really amazing. He's been in this business professionally for over 15 years dancing. And so the value that he can bring to your children is just incredible.
I got to see Pinocchio, and I'm not going to lie, I was a little apprehensive to go to a what I considered at the time a children's ballet, because I've been to recitals and everybody claps and they're cute, but it was fantastic. Yes. Absolutely, I was totally impressed, because I've seen the Nutcracker on a big stage with it was back when I lived in Kentucky, and honestly, looking back, I'm fairly certain it was the Kentucky Ballet that did it. It was in school, but so, you know, going to a school performance and it being equally impressive, I mean, the stage is smaller, but the dances right. were every bit as good. I was extremely
and they were
impressed.
All youth things.
Yes, right. extremely exactly. impressed. So you all have actually been able to give some scholarships because of your sponsorships. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. Actually, Darcy is one of our scholarship recipients. And we last year, I was so excited because I was actually able to award over $2,000 in scholarships to our students.
Wow.
And this isn't something that I take lightly. You know, I really consider seniors or juniors in high school to be primary candidates for that. Students that are showing initiative as far as, you know, a desire to head in a professional direction, you know, professional
like 17
career.
Classes a week.
Like 17 classes a week. There you go. And that's just ballet classes. but yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for people like Mike Pinzone, Lila, who's working with us now on the Nutcracker. You know, her part is going to be very interesting, which we're going to probably do a second show later about, and we're not going to give you a hint yet, but it's going to be a much bigger collaboration later down the road. But, you know, working with other organizations and having sponsors like the Women's Group, the Floor Store. Let's see here. We've got so many. Papa's Pizza, the Pulos Insurance. You know, these are all businesses, local businesses that have decided to support what we're doing. And through them, you know, through their sponsorship, we're able to put on the productions.
Right.
And then the ticket sales help pay for those scholarships and opportunities for the students.
The ticket sales are, I mean, with the first production, and I had this huge budget and was scared to death right up to the last minute. But we were depending on, you know, I made the decision to fund the outreach programs, to do what it takes to make that happen. I was just bound and determined, and was depending on the public performances. We had four of them. We had really inexpensive ticket prices for military and their families, and different organizations, so that they could afford to bring the entire family. The ticket sales were kind of disappointed and left us with in the hole for the budget and no funds for future productions. However, working with other business leaders in the community and through generous donations, through the generosity of the owners that I manage their personal properties, that donated their weeks in their units for the performers to be able to reside there during that week, and also donated weeks for us to do a fundraiser for free vacations on the beach. Amazing. So it, and then Robert Beasley made a very generous personal contribution through his law firm, and then all of the companies that we worked with, like Deluxe Printing Company, that did all of our printing and posters and invitations and programs at cost, and the Kents that provided the stage at a very low cost that we needed to add on the stage in the theater, and just every single person that we worked with that we had to pay in order to make it happen, through their generosity, brought the budget way down and made it manageable. So, you know, and it's the ticket sales in the end that fund us for the next promotion and the next and the next. And so I encourage people, listen, if you can't attend the performance, buy a ticket and donate it to underserved children in the community that would never be able to, you know, whose parents couldn't afford to go at any price.
Right. The point I would like to add to what Lila just said is she kept saying the next. You know, people like Lila and myself were visionaries, and mm-hmm. artistic directors tend to be visionaries. You know, we're always looking ahead to the next thing. And, you know, what we're creating at the time is our focus for that moment. But then it's not like a typical job where, you know, you come in and every day is the same. We're always looking to the next project. And so what I would like to say is, first of all, thank you to all of those who have sponsored us in the past.
Yes.
And for those of you who are listening who might be considering sponsoring us now, you know, I want you to understand that your money is never going just to that performance. It's always going to the next thing. It's always going to go farther. And so it's, you know, it's such a nice thing to receive those sponsorships and those donations from you. And, you know, I personally like to have a relationship with my sponsors, and I've had my students write letters, thank you letters to the sponsors, you know, explaining to them their experiences over summer workshops that they've gone away for, New York, San Francisco, you know, Oklahoma City Ballet, are several of the ones that they've attended. And, the experience is something that they can't get locally, you know, that carries them to the next level. And so those are the things that your money is going towards, not just the performance.
And Darcy, you can chime in on that. What has it meant to you to be able to receive, you know, scholarship funding from those?
Oh, it's been amazing. I was so fortunate to be able to receive a scholarship this year, and it helped me be able to go away for this summer. And the last 2 years ago, I actually went to Central Pennsylvania Youth Ballet and trained there for their summer program. And that was an amazing experience, and I learned so much. And I was able to come back and bring that into the next year and feed that into my training and take right. what he's saying and take what they're saying and just, you know, make it better and keep progressing. And I was actually, like I said, fortunate enough to receive a scholarship this year to be able to go to Nashville Ballet Summer Program. And I learned and experienced so much there. I kept, you know, notebooks. After every class, I would write down notes and corrections that I received, so I would be able to come home and apply those corrections and apply Mr. Michael's corrections and all of my teachers, and just keep getting better and better because I'm being able to go out and not only start, you know, networking in the world and in the field of ballet, but I'm able to receive instructions from multitudes of professionals and people who I might otherwise never be able to like come in contact with or see or, you know, get looked at or get corrections from. So it's been an amazing experience just to be able to grow and learn so much through those and through the scholarship. So
at the point where Darcy's at her age, and she's a senior in high school this year, wanting to pursue a professional career as a ballet dancer, you know, at this point in the training, she, you know, is thinking about resume,
right.
You know, she came to me just 2 days ago and made a comment, asked me a question. I won't share that, but she asked me a question and she, you know, made a comment that she's really trying to build her resume right now. And this is exactly what we want in our students, you know, that kind of mindset. And so, you know, being able to go away for the summer and train with these teachers, this is a great opportunity for her to add teachers, to add locations to her resume, you know, to add experience. But that comes at a cost. And
right.
I'm gonna have Robin speak to this in a second. But what we're trying to do, you know, when you these schools that are holding these summer programs, they hold auditions throughout the year. And Robin is amazing at making an audition schedule for her daughter. I've never seen anything like it. She sent it to me. It was a little overwhelming. You know, it's expensive to travel to all of these auditions. So one of the things that we've tried to do at our school at LaBelle is invite companies in to actually audition at our location. So our students don't have to travel to them. They come to us. And that's made a big difference. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Sure. I'll tell you. These sponsorships are a huge blessing to the families who receive these scholarships, because this level of ballet training where Darcy and others at the school are at right now is very expensive. I mean, just like a lot of very serious pursuits, it comes at a great cost. And as Michael mentioned, we did quite a bit of traveling last year all over the country, really, going to different auditions, because for each summer program with a professional ballet company, you have to audition to even get accepted into the program. So literally, we went to Houston, we went to Miami on several occasions, Boca Raton, Atlanta, Nashville, We kind of, you know, made the rounds and just for a 2-hour audition. And obviously that, you know, incurs costs with hotels and travel and all. And then once you get accepted to a summer program and decide which one, they're very comprehensive. They're long. I mean, Central Pennsylvania Youth Ballet was 5 weeks. And so they're, you know, you're paying for housing. So these are like upwards of $5,000, $6,000 for the summer. So the fact that we are blessed with these scholarships, it is tremendous. It really enables families to be able to send these serious students away for this professional level training that we could not otherwise do. You know, every parent wants the best opportunities for their child, and these scholarships really make it possible that, you know, we can do that. And it's just wonderful. We can't thank them enough. And hopefully it'll continue. It's just a huge blessing, and it provides so much more than just you writing a check. You're really just benefiting the organization, the families, the individual dancers, and of course the community. So thank you.
Mike, let me ask you this. What kind of growth have you seen in the company since you first came on board to sponsor us?
It absolutely has been amazing. The studio's actually gotten bigger.
Literally.
I really am amazed. You know, when the first show was, it was good. It was put on very well. The second show, the Nutcracker, it was like, wow. And then by the time we were at the third show, I thought we were in Broadway. I thought I was in New York. I'm thinking, how can this guy put all this, how can he do this? And so as getting to know you over the years, I've realized that you're brilliant at what you're doing. You build the sets, you come up with all these ideas, and you do them in-house. It's not like you hire these companies to come in and do any of this stuff. You do it. You paint the canvases. You build the backgrounds. You do all that.
Are your children involved in building those stage sets?
They are, actually. I'm glad you asked that. The art program actually helps to design the sets for some of our production, as well as painting the sets. And, you know, the long-term dream would be that we would have a sewing department that would design costumes and make the costumes for the show. And our music department, the students would actually play the music for the productions. I mean, this is very, mm-hmm. yeah. this is a very far reaching dream, but
you're speaking to my heart because I learned how to sew and made my own clothes in high school. Thanks to the home economic department that I was in junior high. And, I was in the band and the symphony and the chorus and the, you know, all of those and the art was just, the art classes were wonderful. And so you're building all of the support through all of those different. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every child that wanted to be a performer would be able to not have the heartache or disappointment of not making an audition because there's not enough love of the arts and people buying enough tickets to support professional companies.
Right, right. I don't think there's anything more fulfilling than taking an idea and seeing it through from just an idea, a concept, you know, through the creation process, and then putting it on a stage or putting it in front of somebody, just sharing the idea. You know, it may not be a stage production, but, you know, to see it through from beginning to end, and it's your kind of your baby, there's nothing more fulfilling than to share that then and give it away, you know. And that's really what, as an artist, that's what it's all about, mm-hmm. you know.
So I want to take a second, because I think we have, like, roughly 10 minutes to talk about Lila's and Michael's, how you all met and a little bit about your story, because it's kind of crazy. I'll let Michael start with how you got involved with the Kentucky Ballet and all of that.
Actually, it started in reverse.
Okay.
So basically, there was a performance that was going to be held at my church, which is Generation Church in downtown Pensacola. And Lila had rented the theater and invited Kentucky Ballet Theater to perform last year. And that was through the Hope Foundation. And so as an attendee of that performance, I started getting interested in it because it was Kentucky Ballet Theater. And I had danced my career in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is right next door to Kentucky, yeah. and actually was very good friends with Norbe Risco, the director of Kentucky Ballet Theater. And so before they ever even arrived, I had made contact with them and, you know, tried to figure out, okay, how can we work this so that you guys can come in and do some, you know, master classes or hold an audition at the very least for your summer program. And so we actually did end up doing that. But, you know, that's the circular thing that I was talking about earlier. You know, the Hope Foundation.
Synergistic.
Exactly. That synergy. You mm-hmm. like that word.
I do. I love that word.
You know, that circular thing is, you know, Lila's organization, the Hope Foundation, is bringing in a company from Kentucky,
right.
you know, to Pensacola, which is huge. That's huge for us. It's huge for every dancer here in Pensacola. Every dancer that's in any school here in Pensacola that's serious about what they're doing should show up to that performance and see it. You know, I always encourage my students to take every opportunity, you know, and get every bit of exposure that you can possibly get. And so I was actually disappointed that the audiences were so small. But, you know, it was encouraging that she's going to continue this and we're going to do it again this year. And, you know, that to know the director from there and have that link was really neat. And so they did actually come to our school and hold an audition for the summer program. And, yeah.
Lila, you want to chime in on that at all?
Well, yeah, I made a crude comment, I think, at the last performance, when I was looking out at, it was an amazing audience on Sunday afternoon. There was quite a number of people that, you know, were really, you could tell they were really happy and felt blessed to be there. But you can't help but look around at the empty seats. And I made some crude comment, like, I just feel sorry for all the butts that aren't in those seats. Thank you for being here, you know?
That's right.
You know, it wasn't, I prayed, I spent so much time in prayer and praying about this. And I knew that the Lord spoke to me in a way through the outreach programs, helping me to understand what was most important and why I was doing it. And you know, it was those children. It was those smiles. It was those hugs that were truly, you know, I love you, BB. Thank you so much for doing this for us. You know, that was a little autistic girl told me, you're my new best friend, BB. You know, I will remember your name. You know, that's why I'm doing it again. And, you know, I have plan A and I have plan B for the next time I do another performance. And, you know, thanks to you, I know, and your help, I know we're going to be able to do plan B. Plan A would be two performances at the Sanger Theater, which would be the first performance would cover the cost of the whole full weekly summer camp, spring camp we're planning. And the second performance, fill that house, and we've got our budget for the next year, you know. But we have to have plan A that's really dependent on the generous support, people contacting me and say, yes, we want to prepay. We want to buy our tickets now for the first performance, you know, or for, you know, we've applied for a grant. Hopefully we'll get a grant from one of the amazing organizations here in town, and we can move forward with plan A. But if we don't get the grant, we're busy working on plan B and creating a budget that's manageable, and we're going to do it one way or the other.
That's right.
By helping each other.
I have to commend Lila with her passion. If you could actually see her, this is the unfortunate thing about radio, but if you could actually see her, she's got a hurt leg. She's in a cast right now. But if she wasn't in that cast, I have a feeling she'd be dancing around the room as she's talking. She has tears in her eyes as she's talking. She's so passionate about what she's doing. And that's the kind of passion that, you know, it doesn't matter what gets in your way, you overcome it. And that's what our goal is. We're going to overcome it and we're going to make things happen. So look for big things.
So I want you to, as we wrap things up, talk about how people can support the Nutcracker that's coming up. Because that's the big thing that's coming up next for both of us, actually, because we're partnering. So how can people support this event and where can they buy tickets?
Okay. I'm actually in the process right now of finding sponsors.
Okay.
For our Nutcracker. We already have regular sponsors. Mike Pinzone is one of those. And I mentioned some of the others earlier. But we are looking for sponsors right now. So if you're interested in sponsoring us, you can call us at 850-944-5650 and just leave a message if you can't reach anybody in the morning hours. Leave a message for Michael Wardlaw and just let us know that you know, you heard us on the radio and that you're interested in sponsorship. And I'll get back to you about that. Aside from sponsorship, the biggest thing for us is filling that audience. You know, we have these hardworking students that are there for 17 classes a week, you know, and yeah, we want to put an audience in front of them that cheers really loud. So, you know, we just want people to buy tickets and come to the show. Our tickets are actually on sale at that same number. I'll repeat that. It's 850-944-5650. They will go on sale about mid-October. And the ticket prices are $30 for adults and $20 for students 17 and under. So that's the way they can get involved and, you know, help us with the production.
Is there anywhere else that you would like people to be able to contact you, as far as, do you have a Facebook page, or does LaBelle have a website?
Okay, LaBellePerformingArts.com is our website for the school. From that, we have a link to PensacolaYouthBallet.com, which is our ballet company. This is our official ballet company of the school. And then on Facebook, you can reach us at Pensacola Youth Ballet. So just friend us and like us and share us.
Perfect. And I just want to thank you all for coming out today. I actually want to give Mike a moment. Do you all have any contact information that you would like to give out?
Well, I know you can also get the tickets at LaBelle Performing Arts. And basically, come support us at Papa's Pizza. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Do you have a Facebook page by chance?
I do. PapasPizza.com is my website. Okay. And my Facebook page, I don't know, is Papa's Pizza.
Just search for you.
Yeah. Best pizza on the coast.
It's true. You. And you can find our website at www.hopepns.com, or you can contact me personally at alex@hopepns.com. And thank you all for attending our show. We look forward for our audience to tune in next week with us. And at what's our time? 10:30? 10:30 on Wednesday.
This show is brought to you by Lila Davidson Enterprises. The sky has no limits when you aim for the heavens and are grateful for the stars. Learn more at PensacolaBeach.best or PensacolaFL.best.